old men, and dare I add women, ought to be explorers. Here and there does not matter. We must be still and still moving into another intensity for a further union, a deeper communion. In the middle of the journey of our life, I came to myself in a dark wood where the direct way was lost. It is a hard thing to speak of, how wild, harsh, and impenetrable that wood was, so that thinking of it recreates the fear. It is scarcely less bitter than death, but in order to tell you of the good that I found there, I must tell you of the other things I saw there. And I like to hear it in Italian, just the first part. Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai per un selva oscura. So this was Dante, who had found himself lost, if that's the correct way to put it, in the dark wood. I wonder if that was the first midlife crisis that was ever discovered. We've probably all found ourselves in a version of that dark wood, as Dante describes at the beginning of the Divine Comedy. According to the mythologist Joseph Campbell, the hero's journey begins with a call to adventure, a calling that may emerge at a time of crisis. This is no surprise, because sometimes it takes a crisis, it takes something quite, some kind of jolt in our lives to take us deeper into ourselves. We've already heard this morning about how the ego, how we need to go beyond the ego. Sometimes the ego sort of does its own collapse, and as our outer world collapses, as our ego, the way we normally have managed things in our lives, as that disappears, that's the time when we are able to plunge more deeply and hear the voice of our soul, which indeed could be our calling. And Richard Rohr, in his book Falling Upward, is talking about how we move from the first half of life into the second, and he talks about the kind of crisis that can propel us. He or she falls through what is merely his or her life situation to discover his or her real life, which is always a much deeper river, hidden beneath the appearances. I like this quotation from Rumi: the wound is the place where the light enters you. So, coming back to Dante, he's crossing a threshold into the unfamiliar territory. The threshold is the next stage of the hero's journey. After we hear our calling, or at least are catapulted out of the way things always were for us, he, on his journey, encounters a leopard blocking his way, a hungry lion, and a starved she-wolf. Well, that's not very easy to deal with, so fortunately Virgil appears to guide him through. This is another of the steps and stages in the hero's journey. We need guardians. We need people who can see the light shining in us and support that. And I like this about the Campbell idea, in that it's not the kind of hero that goes it alone, that mows down the enemies, the kind of one we see on our TV screens often. No, this is a hero who is on a spiritual journey, a journey of the development of consciousness. Campbell himself came to this through his own reading of philosophy and world mythology, something which he did in somewhat of a world crisis during the American Depression. There were no jobs going. He found a little hut in the woods, and there he did a lot of reading. He just managed to live on the money through playing in a jazz band. And his interest was not only academic. He believed that the old myths could help us live our lives today. And in these left hemisphere dominated times, we need to create new stories and revisit old myths to give meaning to our lives. We do indeed have the choice to live our lives consciously, and that includes perhaps our later lives, our second half of life, our adulthood too. as consciously as a hero's journey. Having found our guardians, we embark on a road of trials where there may be many obstacles to get in our way, limiting beliefs to hold us back. I myself am writing, and have been for the last 6 years, a book about the hero's journey, and this indeed is my hero's journey, as I have to confront my own limiting beliefs and the difficulties along the way of combining that with a busy work life. We meet demons on this road of trials. They are indeed our shadow aspects. We don't really want to get a gun and mow them down, or a machine gun. In fact, they are to be integrated, to be embraced, as indeed Jung would encourage us. I'm taking a bit of a gallop through this journey, as you'll notice, and please forgive me, Joseph Campbell and others, because I'm giving you a rather reductionist version. Eventually, we fulfill our calling, which may be one of becoming rather than doing. And Richard Rohr points out in his book, Falling Upward, as he discusses the second half of life, what looks like falling can largely be experienced as falling upward and onward into a broader and deeper world where the soul has found its fullness, is finally connected to the whole, and lives inside the big picture. So here we see again that this is the move beyond the dualistic mode of thinking into something much more holistic. And here are some quotations from Joseph Campbell. The purpose of the journey is compassion. When you have come past the pair of opposites, you have reached compassion. And of course he's known for saying, follow your bliss, the thing that we love. And another quotation, we must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting. So the task of the hero on his or her journey is to discover the life, self, soul that is waiting. I like a poem by John O'Donohue that expresses this for me. I would love to live like the river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. I think in that second half of life, we allow things to unfold. We allow ourselves to unfold. We no longer know who we are, but we can get to know who we're becoming. And I think David Lorimer mentioned Bronnie Ware's book, where she talks about the five regrets from people who were approaching death. This was in Australia, I believe. She worked as a nurse. And the top regret, which I think is very sad, was actually, I didn't feel able to be myself. The hero's journey is about embracing who we are, is about following that call, however difficult that may be, however challenging that may be. The hero's journey is about allowing ourselves to become who we truly are at the deepest level. And once we have achieved that, although we never do, of course, but when we're sort of well on the way, after the resolution comes the return. We bring home the jewels of wisdom we've garnered along the journey. Then we can teach them, we can write them, we can sing them, we can dance them. We could sit with our grandchildren and convey them in everything that we do and the way we are, because, of course, that teaching is also about being, it's also about radiating, it's also about the quality of presence that we bring into everything that we do. So my question to all of you is, where are you on your journeys? And of course, there isn't only one journey. I've written about four modern-day heroes in my book, and what I discovered was that many of them had many journeys. So we may look back on our lives so far and identify many journeys that we've been through, the cycle of separation and returning. Perhaps we are in a homecoming phase. But also, it's never too late. There may be a call to adventure knocking on your door. There may be transformations. There may be growth, development, exciting projects and ideas to take us forward. And I'd just like to end with the idea that this is what I write about in my book towards the end of it, is that for all that Joseph Campbell looked at the hero's journey as an individual journey, I also feel that it's very important, especially in these times, in these difficult times, that we actually see ourselves on a collective hero's journey. Because if indeed we are all interconnected, if we are all one, then we need to be aware that actually that calling could be a calling to many, many people from the earth, from the universe, whatever we want to call it, from spirit, to take us, for us to help the world in a variety of ways. So perhaps there's a calling that many of us, certainly here today, I believe, would have heard. Maybe we can be guardians for each other and help us across certain thresholds. Maybe that road of trials isn't something we have to go alone. Maybe we can combine our forces together. And I just wanted to read a poem which I feel expresses this collective call. It's in a book of prayers by Andrew Harvey. O God, a child is crying, shivering, abandoned in the dark nights, in the dark of night's poverty and war. He is from the land of Africa. She is from Palestine, Syria, or Thailand. She is a Jew from Jerusalem, or a Christian born in the ghettos of Chicago. Her tears have broken your heart, O beloved divine. You woke us up and called us to act. May we heed your call. May our hearts become mighty and our spirits inconsolable, until that child and all her sisters and brothers are unfolded in our humanity and held in the love we speak of so often and pray for. May our love of justice be the compassion that guides us and the passion that steers our path. May we take that child into our arms and remember that whatever is her colour, her race or creed, she is our own. She is the children of the world, the trust you laid in our hands. And just a final quotation from Joseph Campbell. The goal of the hero trip down to the jewel point is to find those levels in the psyche that open, 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 and finally open to the mystery of yourself being Buddha consciousness or the Christ. Thank you.